But we would have heard by now if you wasn't.
I sighed. I suppose. He came forward and kissed my cheek.
Good night, Shai.
After everything that happened,
it wasn't my husband hitting me that haunted my dreams.
It was the attack in the Tri-City, seeing the soldiers hack into the man's arm without cutting it off completely. A gaping wound with a geyser of blood. In my dream, it sprayed all over me, hot and soaking my hair, my skin, my clothes. I woke up with a scream, and Kairos was in the room before I was fully awake, his double swords unsheathed and ready. Shaking my head, I told him, "A dream?"
"I'll stay in here until you fall asleep," he told me.
I shook my head. That may be a while. I got out of the bed, pulling one of my thickest coats around me. "It's colder up here, isn't it?" He nodded, and I went to the small basin of water. I dipped my hands in it, splashing water carefully on my face. I looked up, and my reflection stared back at me, my brown cheeks stained purple and black, the area around the cut swollen and red. "It feels fake," I told him. "The way it looks, this isn't my face." Kairos's lip curled.
"Wait until you see how colorful bruises can look on his pale skin."
"You can't hit the king, Kai."
"Galen got to,"
he grunted. "Calix isn't your brother."
"Brother by marriage."
"Besides," I told him, with as much of a smile as I could muster, "you were never the brother who hit back. You were the one to put the scorpion in a bedroll." He looked at me, calculating and dangerous.
"Yes," he said. "So just imagine what your husband has earned."
I looked at him. "Perhaps I'm the scorpion in that situation."
"You're a daughter of the desert, Shalia. You have always had the ability to pierce and sting."
"It's getting close to dawn. Do you want to take a walk with me?"
He grunted. "No, I'm exhausted. But I will if you want to."
I nodded. "I won't tax you. I just want to see the world outside." He went and opened the door.
"After you, Shai."
I walked through the door, and we went down the hallway side by side.
The hallway led to a huge room and a platform at the top of the city beyond that, and the areas were deserted.
"Maybe it's a little earlier than I thought," I murmured to him.
"It definitely is," he grumbled.
We went outside, and the wind immediately whipped around us. It was still dark in the shadow of the mountain, but at the edge of the world a pale blue light spread over the sky, and I had my first look at the deep valley and the city we had come up through. The city dropped sharply downward into green grass, coating the bottom of the valley, cresting up into gray-blue mountains and trees, rolling out like the ocean made green and immobile. Kai stood beside me, looking out.
"I need to say something, and I don't know what to say about it,"
Kai said, pushing out a breath. With his hands clasped behind his back, he looked so much like father that it stole my breath for a moment.
"I want to ask you if I should be worried about Galen. He chose this place to comfort you, and that means something, Shalia."
I opened my mouth to speak, but he shook his head.
"And then I thought maybe I should speak to him. Play the big brother like Kale or Rian would. Threaten him, accuse him, poke his chest or something. Or maybe speak to you and warn you of the way he looks at you. But I think you know, don't you?"
My mouth was dry, but I glanced down. Heat didn't just fill my cheeks. I felt it rush around my chest and heart, and flutter in my stomach. Yes, I knew what Kairos meant. I nodded.
"And you look at him, too."
Slower now, I nodded again. I still wasn't sure what it meant, but yes, I had looked at Galen in the same manner he'd looked at me.
And that's as far as it's gone.
Not. He sighed.
I should do all those things, but instead, I'll just say that I want you to be happy and I want you to be safe. Unfortunately, I don't know that you can have both at the same time right now.
I look down. I don't know that I can have either, Kai. He put his arm around me.
One day.
One day. Leaning against him, I watched as the sky grew brighter, slowly illuminating the mountain around us, soaked in new light. I felt the threads against my hands tingling and strong. I pulled away from Kairos, going to the back of the flattened platform. There was an outcrop in the rocks, maybe 50 feet up, and I desperately wanted to climb. I put my hands to the rocks, searching for a handhold, and it felt warm, like it moved against me to feel my touch. The threads were weaving together, tight and substantial enough to be fabric.
Shalia,
Cairo said, grabbing my waist.
Do I need to remind you you're with child?
I slapped his hands, and he let me go. I don't think I could hurt myself here if I tried, I told him, gazing up rather wondrously at the rock. I feel tied to it somehow. He lifted an eyebrow, watching me go. The climb was quick and easy. Everywhere I put my hand or foot, the rock responded, giving me a hold on it.
Shy,
Kairos protested. I stopped, glancing down at him. I looked at the space between us curiously. I wonder, I said softly.
I curled the threads around my fingers and tugged through them gently.
The rock shook a little, and Kai shouted my name again, but the mountain was already moving. Small pieces falling and breaking, pushing back and jutting forward as the stone shifted and changed beneath me, until a perfect staircase was cut into the mountain face, connecting me and my brother. I was breathing heavily, stunned and a little winded.
Great skies,
Kairos murmured, stepping up tentatively. The staircase went all the way to the outcrop.
I climbed the stairs, sitting on the flat rock, while Kairos came up behind me.
He squatted down.
That was incredible,
he said.
I've known what Kata was for a long time, but I never saw her use her power like that.
I sighed, feeling the weariness in my bones. Honestly, it was a little more exhausting than I expected.
Stay up here. I'll get you something to drink,
he told me. I nodded. He went down the stairs quickly, trotting inside. Rolling my shoulders, I rubbed my neck a little. It helped my discomfort, my weakness. But as that eased, there was something else. My power was humming, tense, alive, and insistent. Curling the threads around my fingers, I felt a tightness to it, like the threads had all been interwoven to form a dense, strong fabric. Following it upward with my gaze, I saw a small opening in the rock.
Osmost screamed and sailed past my head, landing on the lip of the opening.
He stood there and shook his wings out at me, calling me forward. Slowly I got to my feet. Rather than climb this time, I called up a set of stairs first, narrow and steep, but leading straight to the mouth. Drawing a deep breath and feeling the rocks buzzing back at me, I started up the steps. I was breathing hard by the time I reached the lip. There was an arch carved out of the rock, and it went straight through, leaving a small chamber within. The carving was too smooth and perfect to have been made by man or nature. It was an Elemente dwelling. The threads felt thickened, pulsing with life and energy and making my breath rush faster. The wind swept through the open space powerfully, and I felt like it was trying to push me away. I pressed on against it, seeing two bowls on pedestals the height of my waist on either side of the room. One I could see from several paces away,
was full of fire, still burning, despite the wind and the fact that there was no evidence of a way someone other than me had been there, or could have even breached such a place.
I went toward the other bowl. It was full of liquid,
but it was too shadowed and still to tell what it was.
Water, I realized, walking toward the middle of the space. I could see for miles in either direction, out into the bluish darkness of uninhabitable mountains, and back over the lightning flush of the valley. The wind pushed at my skirts and my hair, cooling my skin. Wind. Fire. Earth. The second I stepped in the center, the nexus of the four elements, the threads around me snapped. I felt my power like a growing thing, rising from the rock and weaving through my skin. The rush, the power, was unlike anything I had ever known, like it was wrapping me and seeping into me at the same moment. Like this place was the source. Like it was the fount of my power. Drawing a deep breath, I pulled myself out of the center. And it was only then that I noticed the dark stain where I had stood. It was old, months old at least. Perhaps because of my awareness of this place, I knew what it was without explaining it. Blood. And more than that, I suspected I knew who it belonged to. Kata had been here. This was the Earth AD. This was the place she had visited, the place where my power had retreated, when harm had been done to it, when my husband sought to wipe it from the face of the earth. It had been waiting for Kata to come and align it with the other elements, waiting to be free. Without knowing it, Galen had brought me to the source of my strength, the source of my power. I held up my hands. This power coursing through me was eternal, indestructible. But I was not. I only had a finite amount of time with this gift. And I was wasting it, watching as others with my power were tortured, experimented upon, hunted, and killed. I would not stand idly by anymore. My heart beating hard, rushing my blood fast and powerfully through my veins, making me both shiver and feel superhuman in the same intoxicating moment, I went back to the mouth of the cave and looked out. My hands rested over my stomach. I couldn't feel her in there yet, but I knew in that moment she would never be raised by Calyx. Maybe I would have to wait until she was born. Or maybe Kairos and I could find a way to stand with the resistance before then. But I would not let her come into this world where she watched her mother stand passively to the side. I was trembling with the frightening clarity of my thoughts. But slowly I walked down the stairs back to the outcrop Kairos had left me on. With barely a thought, the staircase to the site shifted and faded back into the rock. And pressing my hand to my heart, I sat down on the outcrop. It was only moments later that Zeph, Theron, and two other guards came racing out, Galen shouting orders at them to search the city. "What's going on?" I called. Galen halted, spinning around and taking long moments before looking up enough to see my perch.
"What in three hells are you doing?"
he roared, his hands on his hips. I folded my hands in my lap. I couldn't sleep. I came out here.
I saw Zeph lean in, and from the scowl that Galen returned to him, I wondered if Zeph had previously offered a similar explanation.
What's going on? I asked. What are you looking for?
You, he said crossly. You weren't there. Your brother wasn't there. I thought you...
He trailed off.
Ran away?
Kairos asked, coming from another exit with a skin of liquid. Osmos swooped and landed on his shoulder and he walked past Galen without looking concerned.
I tried to convince her to.
This made Galen's glare worse.
Well, what on earth are you doing up there?
He demanded.
You're climbing? In your condition?
Kairos raised an eyebrow as he stepped onto the stairs. I saw color in Galen's cheeks.
Oh, hells,
Galen said, turning away.
Do whatever you want.
Zeph chuckled.
Kairos climbed up and handed me the skin.
It's some kind of juice they make from flowers,
he told me. Thank you, I said, as he sat beside me, letting his legs hang off the edge. Why don't you all come up here? I called. The sun will rise any minute.
Zeph and Theron seemed to take this as an order from me and immediately started trotting up the staircase.
Galen crossed his arms and drew a long breath, making his chest rise under his arms. He looked up at me, and even at such a distance, meeting his eyes hit me hard. I wondered if he would come with me if I joined the resistance. He let out the breath and climbed the stairs.
Zeph and Theron crested the outcrop, and Zeph sprawled out on the rock beside me, while Theron stood behind us. Galen was slowly climbing the stairs, and I turned to see where he was.
He was stopped, a few stairs below the top, and he was looking at all of us, at the rock, at the sky.
His throat worked, and his eyes skittered around again as he took another step.
Was he scared of heights?
Surely calling attention to it wouldn't soothe his pride.
I met his gaze, questioning, and his throat bobbed again, but he came to the top of the stairs and stood beside Theron. Galen clasped his hands behind his back, and we all waited in silence as the blue blushed to pink, then to a bright orange. Then the whole sky burned with the raging color and light that matched my traitorous heart, and the true, full beauty of Trizala was revealed.
Control.
The Vestai's wife took us on a tour of the city that lasted most of the day. With little sleep and after the exertions of the day and night before, my strength wasn't what it should have been. It worked to my advantage, though, when I was allowed to rest and their people came to greet me, bringing me babies and children to kiss like it was a blessing. I kept my purple hood off. Everyone asked me the questions with or without it, and after the first time or two of issuing the lie, Galen answered for me, telling curious folk that the resistance had staged a rebellious act and soldiers had had to put it down while I was caught in the middle of it. I was grateful. The words turned to ash on my tongue. That afternoon, I ate a little and promptly vomited it back up. Though thoroughly exhausted, I went to lie down in my chamber, not expecting to sleep. My baby seemed to have other ideas, however, and I woke to Galen gently shaking my shoulder. The big windows showed nothing but darkness, and I yawned. I missed the sunset, I said.
His eyebrows pulled together. You fell asleep, he told me. Sitting up in the bed, I saw he had a plate of food in one hand.
What's that?
The Vestai's wife made these, he said, pointing to pale, hard-looking squares. They're baked ground grains. She said they were the only things she could eat when she was in her first few months with her sons.
I took one, biting into the crisp edge.
It didn't have much flavor at all, and I could see why they would be easy to stomach.
I nodded, taking another bite.
We shouldn't have ridden like that yesterday,
he said.
That was irresponsible of me.
No, I said, shaking my head. I needed that far more than I needed not to.
Still.
I finished the first and took another crisp square.
Why didn't you leave?
He asked me, not looking at me.
This morning, when I thought you were gone. I was a little relieved,
he admitted, his voice soft. Relieved? I repeated. My heart lurched in my chest, thinking of my bold thoughts this morning. He was looking at the stone walls.
that you weren't going back to him.
I shook my head. There are too many people at risk, I told him. I have to go back.
For now, until I can figure out how to leave him safely.
He glanced at me, then away, opening his mouth. Are you afraid of heights? I asked quickly, spitting out crumbs to try to speak before he could. He looked at me, offended and confused.
What? No.
You can tell me if you are. This morning on the rock you looked...
scared.
Uneasy!
His head whipped away from me. I'm not afraid of heights, he snapped, going closer to the window.
What was it then? I asked. It's all right if you are.
Three hells, Shalia. I'm not afraid of heights, he growled. I think I'm a little afraid of you.
My eyes blinked wide at this. He looked at me, leaning against the window ledge and crossing his arms.
You don't realize what you do. Zeph and Theron, they're hardened killers, but they're puppies for you. And Kairos loves you. You make people love you, Shalia. And I'm not talking about other sorts of love. It looked like a family. Like a family is supposed to feel.
I pushed the food away, putting my legs off the side of the bed slowly, like he was an animal and might spook. Things tumbled through my mind about his sister, his brother, his father. Family frightens you, I said softly.
No,
he said, shaking his head, resolutely looking at the ground.
Wanting family frightens me.
I stood, staying close to the bed. Why? A dark red color flushed through his cheeks, even as the muscles in his jaw rolled and bunched.
I have committed a lot of sins in the name of family, he said,
his voice low and harsh, like the sound was caught in his throat. But it's different, isn't it? I asked. He looked at me and I felt like I was standing too close to him suddenly, because there was something open and raw in his eyes.
Wanting a woman?
He asked.
Children? It's different.
Imagining him with some other woman and with some other children felt different and sharp, too. But still frightening. His eyes shut and every muscle in his face looked tense.
Yes. I can't want that, Shalia.
I waited. I knew I didn't have to say the word for him to know that I was waiting to hear why. His throat worked, and his voice was rougher when he spoke.
I'm no good at caring about people.
His eyes opened, and the openness there betrayed something new. A wound inside him that he'd never let me see before. My skin prickled a warning, but I stepped closer. My heart ached for him, for his loneliness, for his pain. I reached for his hand to reassure him with a touch like I would my brother's. But I couldn't. It would be different and more. I cleared my throat and let my hand fall, trying to sound steady and strong. I think you're wrong, but your believing that matters much more. For long heartbeats, I looked at him, and he stared into my eyes. His mouth opened and closed, and whatever more there was to say, neither of us could find the words to say it. I stepped back. I assume you came to get me for the feast? I asked. He nodded. Give me a moment to change. He stood still for a moment, then bowed his head and left. The feast was served on a wide platform at the top of the mountain, a beautiful scene lit by flickering torchlight. The Vestai's wife was kind enough to make a few more items she thought I could stomach, and I ate my first full meal in days by virtue of it. When musicians started to play, the city folk immediately jumped up to dance. Within moments, I saw a pretty girl teaching Kairos to dance. It wasn't terribly hard. It seemed like a slightly slower version of the dances we did in the desert. There was a lot of jumping and swinging, but instead of a group, this was done with just two people, turning each other around while you held on to your partner.
Does the queen know our dances?
Vestai Nyken asked, bowing in front of me. I don't, I told him.
May I have the honor of teaching you?
He said, straightening up and extending his hand. Be gentle, Nikki, his wife warned. Yes, please, I said with a careful smile that didn't push my cheeks up as I put my hand in his. He led my hand to his hip, and he put his on my opposite hip so we could hold on to each other. He was gentle and quite respectful, but as we danced, I saw how this could be so thrilling to hold your love tight and whirl around under the stars. One of the Vestai's teenage sons stole me from his father, and he held me much tighter and closer, so our bodies were pressed side by side as we turned and jumped. He smiled wolfishly, holding me closer still as the dance went on. The musicians paused for a moment, and we stopped jumping. I pulled away from the Vestai's son, thanking him for the dance. He stepped forward like he meant to ask me for another as the musicians started again. But I found a new hand on my hip.
My turn, Nico,
Galen told the young man. The boy scoffed, but he bowed out. I shivered as Galen's hand took a firmer hold of my hip. This might be a terrible idea, I whispered to him. He nodded, but his eyes were locked on mine. I barely felt emotion as we began to dance, until the first jump brought us closer, his hard chest and side supporting me. He swung me faster, and a nervous, happy laugh bubbled out of me. As the dance sped up, I forgot to be so conscious of him, and we just danced together. He was good at it, fast and strong, and as he spun me around, I tilted back to look up at the stars glittering overhead. He pulled me back up as the dance ended, and we were face to face, chest to chest, breathing hard. My eyes dropped, and I couldn't stop staring at his lips, the way his breath rasped out over them, making his bottom lip shiver the tiniest amount. Kiss him. I pulled back sharply. I'd never consciously wanted to kiss someone in my whole entire life. As soon as it occurred to me, I couldn't stop thinking it, and the idea alone caused my stomach to twist in a lovely, nervous way that made my whole body warm. Trying to make it look like I wasn't running away from him completely, I went back to the Vestai and his wife, and within a moment made my excuses. I shook my hands, my traitorous hands, going to the far side of the platform. The Vestai's wife had shown us a cave that morning, and I went there, thinking that if I ran into Galen on the way to my room, I didn't know. I couldn't possibly find out. The cave was sharply colder, lit by a few torches. I took a deep breath for the first time since my dance with Galen began. I stared at the walls. I had wanted to come back here because it reminded me so much of Jitra, and I found myself running my fingers over the walls, trying to draw on my family to calm my racing heart, my traitorous mind.
Shalia,
Galen called, and I shut my eyes, not turning around. You shouldn't have followed me, I whispered.
I know,
he said, and it was so low it was nearly a growl. I turned around and felt my power rush around my hands. He was so handsome, and the way he looked at me, no one had ever looked at me like that, made me feel the things he could. Why did you? I breathed. Why did you come here at all?
I lied before,
he said, his throat working.
It's not that I'm not good at caring about people. I care so damn much, I feel like I'm going to snap in half. People are no good at caring about me,
he said.
Except you.
Heat flooded through me, and I stepped closer to him. Taller than his brother, taller than me. He was the perfect height for me to tilt my mouth up to him. And I did. I didn't think, I just moved, closing the gap between us. For a second we hovered close, and I felt heat radiating out from his mouth, brushing over mine and making me shiver with want. Our lips touched, and my heart felt like it burst in my chest. His mouth covered me, his lips damp as they slid over mine, matching and twisting, until it felt like something was sealed between the two of us. His tongue touched mine, and lightning burst through my body, making my limbs jerk against him. My hands crawled over his chest, touching and feeling and memorizing. He made the sound into my mouth, his arms clasping around my lower back, pulling me up and against him in a way that felt like it revealed what we were meant for. Every bit of his body that was against mine was like a thunderstorm, hot and damp and sparking. His arms unclasped to touch me, his hands running along my sides that suddenly felt so sensitive and ticklish that I was twisting against him, holding onto his shoulders like an anchor. His hands came up to span my shoulders, holding me strong and close, and they broke our kiss, his mouth dropping to my neck. I gasped, fisting my hands in his uniform jacket. I heard him chuckle as he kissed me again, right along the pulse in my throat. "I don't," I whimpered. He stopped, pulling back.
"Don't what?"
he panted. "Don't know how... Is it supposed to feel like this?" I asked.
"Does it feel good?"
he asked. I nodded, pressing my face against his head. He kissed my neck again, and warmth jolted through my skin.
"Then yes,"
he told me. His arms changed, coming around me gently and rubbing like he was hugging me, really holding me as he kissed my neck. I dug my fingers into his hair, and he leaned up, kissing me again. He shuffled back until he was against the wall, holding me tight against him, and his tongue dipped deeply into my mouth. When Calyx did that, it always felt like an attack. But this was different. Shyly, I pushed my tongue forward along his, and he groaned. A powerful shiver ran through me at the noise he made. My hands moved, eager to touch him, pushing off his jacket and feeling the heat of his skin rising through his shirt. He tugged my coat off one shoulder, and instead of cold, my bare skin felt electric and alive. I pushed at his shirt, wanting his skin, wanting to make him feel as uncontained as he made me feel. My coat dropped off me as I found his hem, sliding my hands underneath, up along his chest. He shivered as our mouths broke apart. He blinked, looking at my face, stroking my hair back.
"You're so beautiful,"
he breathed over my lips. Feeling dizzy, I pushed his shirt up higher, pressing a kiss to the bare skin over his heart. I looked up at him, and his hands went tighter on me. "You're..." I started, but something bright caught my eye. Turning, I gasped, shrinking back from him. The cave had changed. Crystals were jutting out of the walls, bright and glittering. One torch was now fused to the wall, covered over by square purple rocks. The torchlight twisted and moved, and new colors caught my eye. There was a swirl of blue veins dancing over glittering white quartz, a line of jagged, angular, dark charcoal spikes. The floor was covered over with green, crystals that were as lush and vibrant as the color of his eyes. It was everywhere, like a physical manifestation of how much he made me feel. Embarrassed and frightened, I covered my mouth, trembling. I looked at Galen, and he was taking it all in.
"Shalia,"
he said, his chest still heaving for breath. His hands balled into fists as he looked at me.
"Oh, God, Shalia."
"I can explain," I breathed.
No,
he said, shaking his head.
No, you cannot explain this. Do you understand? You cannot say the words that would explain this. Not to me. Not to anyone.
I just stared at him.
Not to anyone,
he roared. He turned and started kicking a crystal, chipping bits of it off, then snapping it, leaving rough, broken shards. Stop! I cried, not daring to step toward him. You'll hurt yourself! He wheeled around.
Me? Me? Shalia,
he said, his voice softening. He came back to me, and I gasped, but his hands slid over my neck, cupping my face.
Shalia, if Calix ever finds this out...
I nodded, the feel of his hands on me making calm and warmth rush through me. I know.
You don't,
he insisted.
Do you have any idea what we found when we went into the Summer Palace?
I pulled out of his grasp, but he didn't stop, eager to torment me with his words.
I found bodies of...
Galen halted, swallowing, his jaw tense.
He made a device to transfer blood into another living thing, and he tried it on animals, birds, humans, a girl, until she ran out, until she had no more blood left. He's the one who devised these tortures.
I was shaking, hard enough that a crystal I was leaning against cut my arm. Don't tell me these things, I whimpered. He came closer to me and touched my cheek.
Shalia, you have to leave. You have to run. He won't just kill you. He'll torture you. And then he'll use your death to make a point. You have to go.
I can't, I whispered. I will not just run away. His forehead touched mine so lightly.
Please.
I can't, I snapped at him, pulling away. You know I can't. He will come after my family. He will break peace with the desert.
Let him,
Galen cried.
They can fight for themselves. They have before.
I'm having his child, I yelled. If I run, he would never just let me go. Never. He would hunt me and find me and punish everyone involved, including the whole of the desert. And I will not see my family die in the process.
And what about you?
He demanded. No, I snapped. What about you? You're the commander of his armies, Galen. You command every sword he has at his disposal. And you would have me run? Subverting his evil acts is not the same as changing his soul. What line must he cross for you to stop defending him? He stepped back, bracing his hands on his hips.
If he ever raised a hand to you in front of me, I would kill him. I don't think I could stop myself,
he said, lifting his eyes to mine. They looked dark and dangerous, and they struck something deep within me.
Is that what you want? Do you want me to kill my brother?
My mouth opened. Yes hovered on my lips. It would be easy. I was sure he could do it, and perhaps if I asked him, he would. I covered my mouth with my fingers. No, I said. I would never ask that of you.
But it would be better, wouldn't it?
He said.
If Calix were just to die, everyone's life would be better, wouldn't it?
My eyes moved over him. Is that what you want? I asked, my voice going soft. His jaw tightened and he nodded.
I've imagined it.
But you haven't done it. He drew a deep breath.
He's my brother. And more than that, I don't believe that more violence will help anything. Killing him would destabilize everything. The crown would fall to the Vestai.
and they would make thrice damned short work of starting a civil war over which one of them deserves the most power.
His death would not be the end of the violence, I finished. He swallowed.
No. It would be the start of war. And worse. I can't say I'm not responsible, Shalia.
My blood ran cold, and I feared another horrible admission from his mouth. He looked at me.
He became who he is to save me, and the Nay. There were threats and attempts. One nearly succeeded. One of the Vestai poisoned all three of us, and it nearly killed Danae. I was sick for weeks. When my brother found out who was responsible, he didn't hesitate. He killed him in cold blood, with no trial, no delay.
Galen's eyes shone with pain as he stared at me, as if he was willing me to condemn him.
I was relieved, Shalia. I was grateful. That I was safe. That my sister was safe. Whatever he has become, it's partially my fault, and I owe it to him to bring him back from this. Whether I like it or not, I cannot give up on him.
His head dropped.
But seeing that bruise on your face, this is the closest I've ever come in my whole life to it. For him to hit you when he claims to love you, to blame it on your family. Perhaps that is the line. Perhaps he is too far gone. Perhaps I am a coward because I refuse to see it and act.
I stepped closer to him, putting my fingers above his elbows. His skin shivered under my touch. Don't say that. It's not your fault. It's the same as blaming it on my family. He will act as he wishes, and he will find an explanation for it later. That doesn't mean you're to blame. He didn't say anything, but his arms opened, twining around me, pulling me tight against him, and I hugged him, his hands in fists on my back. There's still hope, I whispered. Maybe he doesn't want peace, but I do. You do. We can change him, Galen. We can be stronger than his hate. This baby can be stronger than his hate.
Shalia,
he said into my hair.
You don't understand. You can't go back to the Tri-City. He can never discover this, and will never have another opportunity to get you away from him.
My shoulders lifted, tugging away from him. No, he has men in the desert. It's too much of a risk.
Shalia.
You cannot tell me to run when you decide to stay and fight. You cannot tell me to sacrifice my family when you're trying to protect yours.
That's not the same thing,
he shouted, shaking his head.
He will hurt you. Physically hurt you, Shalia.
He already has, I yelled, pointing at my face.
This is worse,
he roared.
And you're not just risking yourself. You're risking your child.
I can control my power, I yelled back. He flung his arms wide.
This doesn't look like control.
I shook my head, walking for the mouth of the cave. Believe me, the things that trigger my power won't be a problem anymore. And they never were with Calix anyway. He caught my arm and I pulled away.
Trigger?
He asked.
What things?
He reached for my arm again and I stopped. You will not touch me when I don't want to be touched. Do you understand that? Maybe I can't stop your brother. And maybe for that I'm a coward too. But you will not touch me. Galen stood still for a moment. And at the look in his eyes, I doubted everything I said. He looked cut open and vulnerable, and I wanted so badly to be the one to protect him for once. To cover that vulnerability and show him he deserved to be loved. But I wouldn't. Not now. Not if it meant running while he stood and fought. I strode for the mouth, where I saw Theron and Zeph guarding the entrance, where they could most likely hear everything. And even if they hadn't, I'm sure they had their guesses, or they would have come inside. Shame burned on my face, and I nearly ran back to my chamber. Theron followed close behind, and Zeph stepped in front of Galen. He didn't dare yell after me with people so near, but I could feel his anger and reproach on my back. I didn't care. I knew that his anger would keep me safe. Without his touch, without the stolen looks that irrepressibly opened my heart to his, I wouldn't lose control of my power again. Nothing else called my power up so forcefully. And yet it felt like the fragile thing between us had shattered. And of all the horrible things that had happened in the previous days, it was the most devastating. It would keep me safe, and it broke my heart. An anthill. We returned to the City of Three long after dark on the third day. I had wanted to defy my husband's mandate, but after fighting with Galen, I didn't have it in me. We rode the whole day long, and by the time we returned, I could barely hold myself upright, and my stomach was tight in knots at the thought of seeing Calix. The royal causeway was lined with guards holding torches, and it made me shiver. Calix must have ordered them there to wait for me, like a burning sign of his displeasure, a display of his power. At the beginning of the causeway, I stopped, causing all the guards and men around me to stop as well. I dismounted, slipping from the horse, drawing new breath when my feet struck the ground. Kairos jumped off his own horse without a word and stood by me, half a step back. I started walking, and he walked with me, Osmost happily chirping out clicks from his shoulder.
"Shalia,"
Galen called.
"What are you doing?"
"We are dragon,"
Kairos said.
"We are desert-born, and our feet will never fail us."
"Three hells,"
I heard him mutter.
"You really think it's wise to remind him of that right now?"
Maybe it wasn't wise, but this, with my feet on the ground walking forward, this was how I knew my own strength. I knew the power in my feet, my legs, my muscles, my body. And the only thing I wanted when I saw my husband again, the husband I couldn't leave, the man who terrified me and fathered my child, was to feel my own strength and know it wasn't something he could take away. If the guards stayed on their horses, they didn't pass us. I could feel Galen's steps not far behind me, and I continued up the steep rise of the causeway. We crested the courtyard, and I released a breath I'd been holding. Calix wasn't there, even though I was certain his guards reported that I had returned. It made the hair rise on the back of my neck, wondering what kind of confrontation awaited me. Galen took my horse and ordered Zeph and Theron to follow me back to my room. We went in silence, Zeph moving ahead to open the door for me. I walked over the threshold and halted.
"My queen?"
Zeph asked, peering around me. There were flower petals in a thick layer on the floor. The doors were open and the breeze ruffled the top layer of petals, so they twisted and skittered over the others. They were beautiful, white and pinks and purples, and a few brushed over my feet. Zeph turned to the guard who had stood there during the day.
"Who entered the queen's chamber?"
he demanded.
"Just the king,"
the guard said. Zeph frowned, but I stepped forward, wading through the flower petals. A few were blowing outside, like they were leading me that way. "Calix?" I called. I saw something on the balcony. Sliding my feet through the petals and letting them rush over my skin, I went out. Flower petals tumbled around a table with two chairs, more flowers, and a man with his back to me. For a few moments, I had the foolish hope that this whole life was different, that all the awful things that had come before were erased, and the husband who stood there to greet me was Galen, my brave and handsome defender, a man who would never give up, even when it seemed utterly bleak. Calix turned and smiled at me, and something inside me broke a little more. I stopped, and Calix came to me, sliding his hand on my hip and kissing my cheek. I turned away. He sighed and stepped back.
I know you're angry with me, my love.
I'm not angry, I told him. I'm bruised, I'm betrayed, and furious. I'm confused and wondering if you're even the kind of man I can allow near my child. His throat worked.
Don't joke about that, Shalia.
Calix, you struck me, I told him. Why would I let you do that to our child? Or let our child see you do such to me?
I'm sorry, Shalia. That's why I did all this,
he said, sweeping his arms out over the table.
To show you I'm sorry. What I did, it won't happen again. Never.
Chills ran over me, and I knew the words I was about to say would anger him, but they had to be said. Another promise. I don't believe you, Calix, I told him. He stepped forward, but they skittered back.
Shalia,
he said with a sigh.
I know. I know you can't trust my words right now, but I will make it right with you. This child is everything to me. You are everything to me. And the thought that you have been away from me, hating me for what I did to you. I've been sick. I can't bear to think that I could lose you.
There was bitterness on my tongue. You can't lose me. You know that I can't leave you or turn from you. This whole apology is yet another show, another act. I halted.
My love,
he murmured, coming close to me and rubbing my arms, chafing warmth into my cold skin. I pulled away from him, feeling sick at his touch.
Shalia, he said, please.
I don't want you to touch me right now, Calix, I whispered. He stepped away, shaking his head.
Punish me all you like, my love. I more than deserve it.
A wild hiccup rose in my chest. Punish you, I repeated. Calix, I feel sick when you touch me, because I'm afraid of you and ashamed and terrified for our child. And I can't just pretend that away.
Striking you, letting my temper overrule my judgment, that was a grave mistake. It will never happen again. And I will spend the rest of my life making it up to you, Shalia. I promise you that.
He sighed, walking closer, and I cringed, but he went into the room. I drew a shaky breath, trying to calm my heart, but it was short-lived. He reappeared a moment later, putting a coat around my shoulders.
You're cold, love.
His fingers lingered long enough for me to shudder, but he pulled away before I could open my mouth. I slipped my arms into the sleeves of the coat, turning around. Thank you. He stepped back.
Come. The cooks have prepared a special meal for us, and I want to prove to you that I do care for you. You're my wife and the mother of my child, and that means something to me.
I looked at the table, crossing my arms. How will you do that, Calix? He glanced around.
All of this is for you, my love. All of it.
And it's a lovely gesture, but it proves nothing. He reached toward my hand, but I pulled away, shaking my head.
I know I was wrong to say that your family was the reason. Well, I was wrong. I know now that as long as you have family on this earth, you'll love them as much as I want you to love me. It's only natural,
And more than that, it's part of why I think you will be an amazing mother. And, well, I wanted to wait to surprise you, but I did hear you when you told me how important it was to you to go to the desert. I know there are many problems between us, and chief among them is that you think I don't hear you and I don't listen to you. But I do, my love. So I think we should go to Jitra. If it means so much to you to have the baby blessed by your clan, they can gather there and bless him. Yes?
I blinked, looking up at him. What? He nodded, his mouth twitching towards a smile.
Would that please you?
My mother, pressing her hands to my stomach and smiling at me. My father, glowering at Calyx and protecting me. My brothers, standing beside me always. Catherine, crawling into my bed to sleep, curled against me. Little Gavin, hearing that he would be an uncle. All of us dancing until the cavern shook to welcome my baby with joy. I couldn't breathe, covering my heart. Relief racking me so hard it felt like pain. Calyx stepped forward and halted.
It doesn't please you, he said.
It does, I told him. It does, it does. Drawing in a slow breath, I looked at him and nodded. Thank you, Calyx. This means the world to me.
I know, he said. I want to give you the world. I want to make you happy, Shalia. And I will give you all the time you need until you're happy with me. So will you please eat dinner with me?
I drew a shaky breath, but I nodded. I still didn't want his hands on me. I still didn't trust him. But it was certainly a start. When I woke early and alone, Zeph was at my door to take me for a walk. Kairos was waiting for me at the cliff walk, and I smiled, shaking my head. How do you know when I'll be here? I asked, delighted. He kissed my uninjured cheek.
My sister, always with the silly questions, he said. Zeph?
Zeph sat on the step and waved us forward, relaxing in a beam of weak morning sun like a gigantic cat. The path was just wide enough for us to walk side by side.
How are you feeling? He asked.
My shoulders lifted. I slept well. I just feel worn, tired.
You weren't eating much in Trizala.
I touched my stomach. I don't quite understand why some things make me ill and others don't.
We'll find things you can eat. My niece will be well fed, he said, nodding once.
I smiled. It won't always be like this. I remember Mother was usually terribly ill for the first few months, and then she was very healthy.
Did you have any problems with him last night?
Kairos asked, glancing back toward the castle. No, I said. I told him I don't want him near me. He said he would respect that for now.
You did?
He asked, his eyebrows shooting up. I nodded. I can't stand the thought of him right now, much less the idea of him touching me, kissing me. I shuddered.
With someone like him, that's a dangerous choice,
he told me. At this point, it isn't something I can choose differently. I sighed.
You weren't at dinner last night,
Kairos said.
I heard Calyx made some sort of gesture for you.
The court knows of that? I asked. They know what he was making up for?
No, Kai said. They were all whispering that he was showering you with presents, that he's so madly in love with you.
I crossed my arms, remembering the chill of the night before. He's allowing me to go to the desert for the blessing.
Kairos grunted. Allowing you.
My shoulders shrugged up. It's an opportunity, Kai. His eyebrow arched, questioning.
I stopped on the path, taking a deep breath and looking at him.
I won't see my daughter raised.